Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Ever since then, from that day, every lead, every person that we've talked to, nobody's seen Deanne, nobody's heard from Deanne. Friends in California, friends in Texas, friends everywhere, anyone that she would have reached out to, no one's heard a peep. So that night she vanished off the face of the earth, and we haven't been able to even get a hint of where she could have gone. So it's been very disturbing to not have any information at all. And she would not have left her children. She would not have walked away like that from the world. So to me, with all the signs and with all the things that I think are glaringly obvious that foul play took place that evening, it's amazing that we can't get some answers, but it's just at a standstill.
Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of The Vanished. Tonight, we will be discussing the disappearance of 35-year-old Deanne Hastings from Spokane, Washington. On November 3rd, 2015, Deanne left a note for her fiancé, Mike, saying that she was running to the store. This is the last time that any of her loved ones heard from her. This is Deanne's story. Deanne is the mother of three children and was living with her fiancé, Mike, in Spokane, Washington, before she vanished. She had recently signed up for cosmetology school, and she had attended her first day of classes the day before she went missing. I had the pleasure of speaking with Deanne's brother Carson for this episode. He was able to give me some insight into Deanne's past.
First off, I lived in Texas at the time. Deanne and I had been just starting to communicate via Facebook, and she had told me she's engaged and she's in love and everything is going great, and she's getting ready to start school, and I was real happy for her. She's come through a lot. She does have and did have some mental illness issues. She was bipolar, so she's struggled with that since she was in her mid-teens. It's been very hard for her to get her life together. She's self-medicated. We have tried as a family many times to get her help, and she's always had the ability to check herself out, and there was nothing that we could do when she went into these manic stages. We tried and tried and tried. My mom, for years and years and years, did her absolute best with Deanne. But Deanne would go, she moved with me in Texas a while back, and she was doing very good for several years. No issues, got her life together. She's a great person. And then she moved back up to Washington and appeared to be doing the same thing. And there was no indication that there was anything bad going on.
Carson explained to me how he came to learn that Deanne was missing.
The next thing I heard was I got a call from one of my friends and asked me if Deanne was missing. And I said, well, no, what are you talking about? And he sent me a news article that showed her missing poster. And that was the first that I'd heard of it. And it was 4 or 5 days after she'd been missing. So I got a hold of her fiance and started getting involved in what was going on.
Carson walked me through the timeline of events leading up to and following Deanne's disappearance.
She apparently, the night that she went missing, or the night that everything kind of started unraveling, she did her son's girlfriend's nails at her house. They were there, and Mike was working. Her fiance was working. She finished the nails. Her son and his girlfriend said there was nothing out of order. She was completely fine. There was no issues. She left a note for Mike that said, I'm going to run to the store real quick, and I love you. And then she went to the store after they had left, And then that was the last time any of her loved ones ever saw her. Her car was found the next day downtown across from the Knitting Factory, which is a live music bar place. Inside of her car was her purse. She had a soda bottle with Mike's name on it, one of those Coke bottles. And it just her cell phone was in the car. Just not a scene that you would expect from somebody who's planning to go. So at that point, Mike, he started putting up posters, called the police, and got a hit. Somebody had called from the trading company, which is a grocery store just up the hill a little bit from that location. And somebody had claimed that they saw Deanne. So he went up there and Mike talked to the guy. And the guy said basically Deanne went home with him that night. And he dropped her off at that gas station or at that grocery store. And she had stolen his cell phone is what he claimed. We dug into that a little more and come to find out that morning, the guy did drop Deanne off at that grocery store the next morning. Deanne's on video in that grocery store. She bought a bottle of vodka and birthday candles. But while she was in there, she told people she was kidnapped and she was drugged. And she was asking for help. And she had been laying in the bushes outside of the gas station. And they did call the police and an ambulance. So the police and the ambulance arrive and they talk to Deanne and they let her go. So she just wanders off from there, which is very disturbing to me, being that if somebody's telling you they've been drugged and kidnapped, they probably need some help. And they just let her walk away. After that, the next time anybody saw Deanne was that evening. There was a witness that saw Deanne just down the street from this gas station walking with two males and a female who was, one of the males was that Mr. Riley who was arrested for her credit cards.
We will get into this a little bit more, but Carson was referencing Randy Riley, who ended up getting arrested for using Deanne's credit cards after she disappeared.
And the other was a friend of Mr. Riley and his girlfriend. And they saw all of them walking, and Deanne was walking with them. Then later that night, apparently Deanne was trying to get home, told them she wanted to go home, was probably kind of over by the trading company near downtown again, and was about a quarter mile as the crow flies from her house.
The trading company is the grocery store that Deanne had been at earlier that day and where she had told people that she had been drugged and kidnapped.
These individuals, two males that she was with, claim that she, well, they have completely different stories, but one of them claims that Deanne went into the bushes to go to the bathroom and didn't come out. And so the other guy went and checked on her. And she didn't want to move, so they left. That's what one of them says, the individual who stole her credit cards. And then the other guy claims that Deanne went in the bushes, and the other guy that stole her credit cards followed her in there and was in there for 10 minutes with her, and then came out and they left. So they have completely conflicting stories on what happened with Deanne. After that, after another day of no one seeing Deanne, looking for her and running crazy everywhere, this same individual, these people that were being evicted from their apartment, comes by where Deanne was and says that her shoes and her jacket were there, so they took them. And that's how he got her credit cards. But Deanne wasn't there. The news station, Haley Gunther, did an interview with this individual in prison, and he says, oh, we drove by where Deanne was, or Deanne is, and he made it sound like she was still there in his interview with his wording. But that was the last time anybody saw Deanne. Any witnesses or anything saw Deanne was in these bushes with these two guys. Then several days afterwards, and everyone's frantic looking for Deanne, the individual who stole her jacket, shoes, and credit cards uses her credit cards to buy groceries and in another part of town. And then her ID was obviously with them, with the credit cards. So he went and he threw it downtown by a meat market. So it looked like Deanne was still walking around. So he ditched her ID downtown. He disposed of her jacket and her shoes and used her credit cards. And they were able to track him down with the camera for her, for the credit card use, and find out who he was. They did a story on it. They put his the pictures of the people who used it on the internet, and it took about 20 minutes for him to get named. They went and they arrested him for this crime of the credit card fraud, and he was jailed for it. But ever since then, from that day, every lead, every person that we've talked to, nobody's seen Deanne. Nobody's heard from Deanne. Friends in California, friends in Texas, friends everywhere, anyone that she would have reached out to, no one's heard a peep. So that night she vanished off the face of the earth, and we haven't been able to even get a hint of where she could have gone. So it's been very disturbing to not have any information at all. And she would not have left her children. She would not have walked away like that from the world. So to me, with all the signs and with all the things that I think are glaringly obvious that foul play took place that evening, it's amazing that we can't get some answers, but it's just at a standstill.
The jailhouse interview that Carson mentioned is available online if you go to the KHQ website. It is really interesting to watch Randy Riley talk about Deanne. Something about his facial expressions is really off. His statements about Deanne are also very, very vague.
No, he did not say much. He said she was drunk, which I would imagine is probably true. You know, she showed up at the grocery store claiming she was kidnapped and drugged and then bought a bottle of vodka and birthday candles. I mean, she was not in her right mind. And so I completely agree with the fact that she was drunk, but I have a very, very hard time believing that Deanne, in the middle of the night, in the fall where it's very cold, leaves her jacket and shoes and walks off. You know, it makes no sense. I think that story is terrible, and I can't believe that I can't even wrap my mind around that really happening.
One thing struck me as odd about the stories that Randy Riley and the other man were telling. If they had nothing to do with her disappearance, why did they randomly ditch her license in another part of town?
I mean, they're doing that on purpose to make it look like she's still walking around, you know, and to dispose of her jacket and her shoes that they felt the need to take. It makes no sense either. Why would you take them?
Yeah.
If you're just going to go throw them away. It makes no sense. And, you know, obviously this one individual was arrested for credit cards, but that was it. Refuses to admit anything else. The other individual is still walking the streets. He didn't get hit with anything. And the girlfriend is still walking the streets. And the individual who dropped her off at the grocery store, who she claimed drugged and kidnapped her, immediately moves to Florida. So just so many bizarre things with these people.
It is so troubling to me that Deanne was claiming that she was drugged right before she vanished. If that is in fact true, what are the chances of being drugged at a bar and then running into these other two individuals in such a short period of time? I checked with Carson to see if there was any relationship between the man who she claimed drugged her and the two that she was last seen with, and he informed me that there was no known connection there. I wanted to know more about the Knitting Factory. This is the music venue that her car was found parked by. I wondered if witnesses had actually seen her there on the night of the 3rd.
Apparently that's where she had been, and that is the individual who dropped her off stated he was there and that he met her there. She ended up going home with him, apparently, was it. So she was there. Her car was parked right across the street from there that night. And then from there, she ended up, why she was there, I don't know. But, you know, it didn't appear that she was forced in any way to go there. I mean, she had left all of her things except for her credit cards and her ID, which she would need if she went in. So it appears that that was on purpose, but I don't know what happened to her afterwards. I mean, she could have been drugged by this guy. She could have been, you know, put in a really bad situation and never had an opportunity to recover. I mean, she was asking for help at the grocery store.
We may never know why Deanne's plans changed that night. She had planned to go to the grocery store. How did she end up at a concert venue? Was this a place that she was known to frequent?
The Knitting Factory? I'm not sure if she went there frequently. I would have to say probably not. Deanne was not supposed to be drinking or anything due to the medications that she's on. So she was not a regular frequenter of bars.
One thing that I wanted to make clear for the audience is about her fiancé not immediately notifying the family. I asked Carson about this because even I was slightly confused myself.
I had never met him before. And like I said, Deanne and I were not incredibly close at that time, just due to her illness and some of the issues that he created within the family. But she started reaching out and we started talking again. So as soon as I contacted Mike, he was more than willing to throw any information he had to allow me to get into the loop. So I didn't have any issues with him, but it took me a couple of days to find out. Nobody knew until it hit the news. But I mean, it happened so quick. You know, she just went missing and thought they were going to find her within the next couple of days. They kept finding clues and then it dried up.
Do you know if those guys, the ones who had her credit cards, did they have access to a vehicle at all?
Well, I know they did not have one of their own. They were on bikes and walking when they bumped into Deanne. But when they had a friend that had a truck that they were using to move out of their place that they were evicted from and move it into storage. Because the next morning they were moving. And that's when they claimed they went by where she was and took her things when they were in this truck. So they had access to somebody with a truck.
Was it someone's birthday? Do you have any idea why she would be buying birthday candles?
No, we looked into that. It was no one's birthday. I mean, no one's birthday coming up. So it didn't make any sense. And I honestly think she was probably out of her mind at that time. And what she was doing was not making sense. I mean, she was telling people she was drugged. She was laying down in the bushes out front of the grocery store. She bought a couple of random things. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah, that's really bizarre. I can't believe they let her go.
I know. I know. Neither can I.
You would at least think that they could have just detained her for public drunkenness or something.
Something. I know. I mean, you'd want to find out why she's telling you that, or telling people that she's been drugged and kidnapped. You know, you think you'd want to know those things. Find out if it's true.
The fact that she could run into someone who she's saying drugged and kidnapped her, and then these other people,
yeah,
all in the span of 24 hours.
Exactly. It was from one bad situation right into another.
Yeah. How does that? It's like, how in the world does that happen?
I don't know. And you know, and there were some bizarre things. The one individual, not the one that was arrested for credit cards, that was with her, reached out to Deanne's best friend when he was having some kind of mental breakdown a couple weeks later and says he really needs to talk to Deanne's family. And then, so I'm thinking he's going to say something, you know, let us know what happened. And so I reach out to him, won't really talk about it. And then refuses to return my calls ever ever since then. Would not talk to me.
Yeah, it sounds like he was going to and then changed his mind.
That's the way I took it. I mean, for him to reach out to her friend and say he really needs to talk to someone in her family, you know, is very disturbing. I mean, her friend Heather really was all over this and was doing everything she could to try and get answers and try and talk to people. And the amount of Deanne's old friends and community and everybody that helped was amazing. And I mean, Spokane is not a huge place. I think that the people who know what happened, we already know who they are, and they're just not going to talk.
I wondered what kind of searches were done to possibly locate Deanne.
They've done multiple searches through that area and the areas surrounding it. No findings at all.
How has law enforcement been with you guys?
I've been in contact with the detective that's on the case pretty much from about the first week. And he's been, he'll talk to me every time I call. He'll tell me anything they know. They had a couple of guys working on it, and they're just not finding any leads. They're not finding any new information that we already know about. You know, I mean, they've ran down phone records, they've ran down everything, and there's just nothing that sticks out. But he's been in communication with me every time I call. I just don't know. We don't know what else to do.
Carson explained a little bit more about Deanne's struggle with bipolar disorder and a recent change in medication that may have affected her mental state prior to her disappearance.
It's very difficult, and it's been very hard because everyone in her life has tried so hard. You know, there's no way to get her help. We try and get her help. We did everything for her. And, and she really tried. She tried hard, and it just was something that she was not capable of getting over. And she would get into those stages where she had to self-medicate, or where she would self-medicate, and that only made it worse, because then she just wasn't Deanne anymore. And another issue is that she was on medications and had just gotten on state health insurance. And when she got on her state health insurance and was trying to get her medications, they denied her medications and said, no, you're going to have to take something else. And so she went to her doctor, and her doctor said, no, this is what she needs. She's been on these other medications. They don't work. She took it back to the state, and the state denied it again and would not give her the medication. And that was right before she vanished. So she didn't even have the medication that she needed.
I wonder if that's caused part of the problem.
It could have. I think that could have caused her to drink or to start self-medicating. So it definitely went hand in hand, I'm sure.
This got me thinking about some other people that I have featured on the show recently, like George and John, who are also bipolar. I have come to believe that their struggles with mental illness led to them being in particularly vulnerable situations.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, Deanne's been in bad situations before, and that's generally where it comes from. She's not a bad person, but you end up finding the bad people.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just... You know, and that's what happened to her tonight. She found several of them when she disappeared. And, you know, bad people do bad things.
Remember the first guy who says that Deanne went home with him on the night of the 3rd? I wanted to know if Carson had ever spoken to him.
Oh, we have tried to speak to everybody, and everyone that's involved will not talk to me. They won't return Facebook messages. They won't return phone calls. They hide. They all blocked their Facebook accounts. It's just, they're hiding. They're hiding.
Did you say she left her cell phone in her car?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how her vehicle was found.
Okay. Where were her keys ever found?
Her keys, yes, were found by the individual who dropped her off at the grocery store. She had dropped her keys on the ground in his vehicle.
Okay.
And so he returned them to Mike when he called. He said, she dropped her keys in my car.
So if she tried to get back to her vehicle, she wouldn't have been able to get in.
No, she would not have. She would not have. But I mean, when she was at the grocery store, she was out of her mind. I don't even know. She probably was not even in reality at that point. But she did not have her keys on her to get in her vehicle. And she didn't get dropped off at her vehicle. You know, she was several miles away from her vehicle.
I am not an expert in mental illness, and I wanted to know how Deanne had acted in the past when she was off her medication or started a different one. Had she ever behaved in a manner that was similar to how she was behaving that day in the store?
Not to that extent. She would lose. She would become a different person. And what Deanne, and I think a lot of the reason that this got written off so quickly is because Deanne's MO was when she started self-medicating or went on a manic episode, she would hide. And because she didn't want her family and friends and anybody to see her like that. So she would go off on a, you know, 3-4 day bender and then show up in a hospital or show up somewhere after that when she starts coming back around. So this has happened before where she would vanish. And that was kind of her thing for, but it was always for just a couple of days while she goes on a bender to self-medicate. So I think that initially everybody and kind of felt that she's just doing her bender thing. And then when more facts started coming out, it was a whole different ballgame this time.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
I would like to briefly go over the timeline again, because I know that it confused me at first. On November 3rd, Deanne went to her first day of classes, came home, and then her son's girlfriend came over and Deanne did her nails. There appeared to be nothing out of the ordinary going on at this time. She left a note for her fiancé stating that she was going to the store, and then she was next seen at the knitting factory. Her vehicle was also parked by the knitting factory. Inside, she left her phone, purse, and wallet, but she did take some credit cards and her ID with her. Taking her cards and ID would make sense if she was planning on going into the bar. Later that evening, she ended up going home with a man that she met at the knitting factory. He claims that she willingly went with him, but she told people in the store the next day that she had been drugged and kidnapped. The following morning, this man dropped her off at a grocery store, which is where she was telling the story about being drugged. While she was at the store, she purchased vodka and birthday candles. I would like to add here that when she was dropped off, she had left her keys in that man's truck. Carson also told me that when Deanne went outside, a woman from a hair salon had tried to speak with her and help her, and Deanne kept calling this woman mom. That is another indicator that something was clearly going on with her state of mind at the time. Deanne was then seen with those two other men and the girlfriend of one of those men. They claimed that they hung out with her for a few hours and then left. Later, when they were moving their belongings to self-storage, they came past the area where they had left her and found her coat and shoes. In her coat, they found her credit cards and license. They used her cards and ditched her license in another part of town. There are so many mysteries in this story. The first one is why Deanne went to the knitting factory on the evening of the 3rd. Did she just make a spur-of-the-moment decision to go there? Did she plan to go there but didn't want to tell anyone, so she wrote a note saying that she was just going to the store? What happened to Deanne once she was in there? No one who had seen her earlier that day mentioned that anything was out of the ordinary. Did someone slip something into her drink? Did she willingly go home with that man, or were her statements about being kidnapped true? Why was she acting so erratically? Was it because of her medication change, mixing her medications with alcohol, or was she in fact drugged? One huge frustration for me was that she did speak to police and they left her there, and that is when she ran into these two other men. This is just my opinion, but it appears that they saw her vulnerable state and took advantage of it. Did they take Deanne back to the apartment that they were getting evicted from and something bad happened there? They have two conflicting stories about what happened right before they supposedly left her. Did something happen there and they concealed her body but later came back for her when they had their friend's truck? You know how there's usually a piece of truth in every lie? They admit to coming back the next day with the truck and finding her coat and shoes. Was that really all that happened? There are other theories out there, though. Did the man who dropped her off at the store find her after those two other men had supposedly left? Could Deanne have taken off? Her disappearance is so bizarre, and anything is possible. I think that the answer lies with the two men who admit to spending time with her that day. The fact that they purposely disposed of her items and dropped her license in another part of town in order to make it look like she was still walking around shows that they had something to conceal. Were they just trying to get away with using her credit cards, or is there more to this story? Randy Riley is still incarcerated for using Deanne's credit cards. The other man is still out there. The question that needs to be answered here is, where is Deanne? Her loved ones, and most importantly, her children need answers. I cannot begin to imagine how frightening it must be for a child to be left wondering what happened to their mother. If you have any information about the disappearance of Deanne Hastings, please call 509-456-2233. That brings us to the end of episode 44. I want to thank Carson for taking the time to speak with me. There is a Facebook page called Missing Deanne Hastings if you would like to continue to follow her story. If you would like to reach me, I am on Twitter at The Vanished Pod. There is a Facebook page and a private discussion group. Anyone is welcome to join. It is only private so that your friends don't see all of your comments. If you go to thevanishedpodcast.com, there is a topic suggestion form and also a general contact form. If you have a missing loved one that you would like to have featured on the show, please email me at thevanishedpodcast@gmail.com. The number for my call-in line is 814-VANISH-9. If you like this show, there are several things that you can do to help me keep making it better. First, subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Give The Vanished a positive review and share the show with your friends. Also, I would love to know a little bit more about you, so please complete a quick survey at wondery.com/survey. I promise it takes less than 3 minutes of your time. Again, that's wondery.com/survey. Please tune in next time. I will be discussing the disappearance of a 23-year-old man from California.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. So, you know, she's in a situation where she needs help, and what she gets is more people to hurt her. There's several people who have been incredibly helpful. Haley Gunther at KHQ in Spokane has been amazing. She went and she covered the story on Deanne. She reached out to us and talked to us. She's had Deanne on the story a couple of times on the news. And she also went and interviewed the individual in jail. So She's been fantastic. Also, Deanne Scott, she was on Dateline's series of Missing in America, which is posted on their website. And her story is there. Her fiance, Mike, has been very good at getting her story out, reaching out to everybody, reposting things on Facebook, talking to people, getting media coverage. So Deanne's had a good amount of media coverage, this case has. But that's what I mean. Spokane's not that big. If somebody in Spokane would have seen her, they would have heard about her story by now. It's been out there. So we're just at a loss. We don't know what's going on. And as time goes on, more and more time now, it slowly just starts fading away and we don't know anything. I think the people who know what happened have already been spoken to. I don't think there's a mystery person out there we don't know about. They're well-known petty criminals and drug addicts in town, and it's not surprising at all that they would be involved in something like this. We just want to know what happened. And if somebody did something, I want them to be held responsible for it. And I don't want someone to get away with this. This is disturbing.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.